All right, I appreciate the Lord letting us be in this house again this morning. I appreciate this good number of the house of the Lord. If you want to go ahead and get your notes, turn page 110. We'll take up our Sunday morning offering. Page 110, we'll do the first and the last verse there. As always, I'll remind us to go colored plates. That's the regular tithes and free will offerings. And that silver plate, that is our flower fund.
Before we slip into today, thank you for all you're doing, thank you for many blessings, Lord. Which takes to take us off and use it, Lord, to build your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Actually, hold on just a second. I forgot. I thought about it this morning. And Jesus said so. Remind me. It's first Sunday, so we got our offering for the youth. So actually, let's do all three verses. Are we pushed on that?
Yeah.
Okay. So just do regular? Okay. Okay. Never mind. Back to your regular schedule for first and last verse.
I'm going to tell you that.
Oh, no.
Yes.
You mean for old people?
I don't know if there's like some like an icy hot or something. I don't know. Amen. So let's sing happy birthday to these. And then when we get through singing that, we'll sing happy anniversary to Preacher Billy and Miss Vivian.
Happy birthday to you. Just one will not do.
Center down in Drexel on Friday, Lord willing, at 6:30, right? And, I'm sorry, I don't remember. Are we doing food, or is there like...
We're being, buying pizza and drinks for you, so if you'll bring snacks, desserts, anything like that, then it's up to you guys. And bring board games, card games, whatever that you may want to bring.
Okay, so, keep that in mind, and we always appreciate all the ones that come together and do stuff. We always have a really good time of fellowship together, so keep that in mind. Also, remember that our primary election is Tuesday. It's this Tuesday. I do still have a few left of the handouts that I brought Wednesday. I meant to print more. If I run out and we get this evening, you know, let me know, and I'll try to print more this evening. Also, if anybody wants me to send links, I have where you can directly download the just a blank sample ballot and the notes that I have. I didn't go back and scan it after I filled it in. You can feel free to take a picture of it on your phone. But remember, you can't use your phone in the voting booth. They will not let you do that. And I think the reason for that is they don't want to be worried that people are in some way incapacitated and there's like somebody telling them what to do, or I'm not really sure what to do. So you can't use your phone in the voting booth. They finally, after years of passing it, getting through courts, we do have our voter ID now. So don't forget your driver's license, because you wouldn't be driving back to the house unless you got your student ID with you. You know what I mean? So keep all that in mind, and just pray that God will have his will in that election. And as I keep reminding us, and it keeps being true, you know, say it is that politics is downstream from the culture. So we're not going to fix the problems of the United States or North Carolina or Burke County. We're not going to fix the problems with the election. But we have a stewardship, and God absolutely is going to hold us accountable for how we execute that stewardship. Amen. Because we don't get to not vote or be lax in how we vote and then complain when stuff's not voting right. You don't get to do that, okay? Really, a spiritual revival is the only thing that's going to fix our problems. Yeah. That is the only thing that can do it. Because when you get people's hearts right, then what goes on in those offices is going to take care of itself. Amen. Absolutely it will. That's how it was in the kingdom of Israel. The king always reflected the heart of the people. Right? And it's not different now than what it was then. That's just how it is. So really be much in prayer more than anything that our nation can have the Bible, because that's what we truly need. That's the only thing that's ever helped us in the past. It's, you know, that is the medicine for the sickness that America has, and really the world in general. So do be much in prayer for that. Is there any other announcements that I'm kind of forgetting here? I'll remember, end of the month will be Resurrection Sunday and also Youth Sunday. So remember that. There won't be any Sunday school classes for youth to do, but you know, hopefully they'll be taking the other jobs, and just pray that God will, the pastor asked me to go ahead and line up a preacher for that morning, so just pray that God would guide us in that. That'd be exactly according to his will, that he'd be honored and glorified in that. I always look forward to resurrection. Just remember it, you know, that morning, and I think about those ladies, and I know that's why we do it. Like, I get that, but, you know, getting up early and getting out, and it's cool, and the sun's just coming up, and it makes it, I don't know, at least for me, so much easier to imagine how it was for those ladies that came to the tomb that morning, and then what they found, or rather didn't find, when they got there. So, always appreciate that very much. But yeah, any more announcements? Okay. I know we got a lot of prayer requests this morning. Preacher Stoney was letting us know this morning that baby Lucy is still in the NICU and that she's still not able, I think as Stephanie mentioned, she's still not able to eat quite as much as they're hoping. And probably all of you know, she's got a cleft lip and that she for sure has a cleft palate, right? Okay, so just and obviously that's going to hinder. Oh, hey, that was Connie's here. So tell me if I'm getting any of this wrong here, but they're hoping to go home Monday, right? Is that what?
No, they don't know yet.
Oh, they don't. Okay.
She's only eating 35% on her own. She has to be up to 65% before they're going to take the feeding tube out. Mm-hmm. Then after they take it out, she has to stay till she eats 100% on her own before they're going to let her come home. So they don't have a date set yet that she's going to get to come home. She did eat the most yesterday in one sitting that she's eaten ever since she's been born.
Oh, good.
And they said that was really good.
Yeah. Amen. So remember this. And we know, you know, sometimes God works in miraculous ways, and sometimes he works at a slow, steady pace in which he designed our bodies to be able to cope to begin with. It's just according to whatever his will is in the situation. I do appreciate the fact that we're hearing positive news there, so pray for Katie and Derek that God would give them grace, especially, you know, staying there in that hotel, you know, they didn't like sleeping at home, you know what I mean? So I know they're probably running pretty rough. dragon. So just pray that God would hold them up, and especially to help them and ease their minds, to give them faith in Him, that they wouldn't be anxious about it. We just turn that over to the Lord. And as I've said many times, you know, there's a lot that we don't like about these modern days and times, but I am very thankful for the medicine that God has taught doctors, and especially that a lot of children that in times past would have no means of survival, now they are able to survive. I've said it before that if it weren't for modern medicine, I would be a widower and I would have no living children, because my wife and first child would have died. Dear Charles, when you make it, this will all come around and see all the wickedness. And the Bible warns us against this. If we're not careful, we'll think, why couldn't I have been born 200 years ago?
Yeah.
Man, things were better back then. The Bible says, don't ask. Don't say, oh, things were so much better then. For one thing, you probably don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. But besides that, who determined when we were going to be?
Right.
God did. The Bible says that He determined the times and the bounds of our habitation.
Amen.
And then we remember the things like that. And we realized there was a reason why I was born where I was.
Right.
And now, not just for my benefit, it wasn't just because that was for me, but also because this is the time in which God ordained for me to work and for me to do what I need to do.
That's right.
But also, there's blessings like that. I still have a wife, and I have three precious children.
Amen.
And God keep, because of what God allowed me to be born. And that would have been possible under different circumstances. So I know, I get it, and I appreciate what God has allowed the doctors to do. So just do me much in prayer for them.
Amen.
Continue to pray for her mom if she would. I haven't got to talk to her in a few days. So I don't know, hopefully she's doing better. Continue to pray for Jenna. The Lord to continue to help her. Let's see, I know several. Oh, Miss Terry mentioned this morning, Jeff, that she's been requesting prayer for, that he was able to walk up the stairs by himself. When did you say it was? Was it yesterday? Amen. So we really thank the Lord for that. But also remember, my husband Dale is going to Wednesday have some kidney stones removed. So be much in prayer for that. Be much in prayer for Brother Charles, too. We're asking him this morning. His skin's doing good. Now he's down on his back. So pray that the Lord would help that there. Continue to remember Brother Robert. I know he was back in the OR again. What was it? Friday night?
Friday morning.
Okay. Is he doing better this morning? Like, I guess he's not here.
He's never had surgery before, so he didn't know that he could experience nausea, sore throat. He's a little depressed, but he says he's not in as much pain as he walks.
Okay, good. So that part's good. Okay, so just remember him on that there. Who else has got a request this morning before we come pray?
Remember being in heaven, that's
Sunday
with her back Thursday.
Right, Thursday. Yeah, appreciate that very much.
Remember, some of my family, my great uncle passed away in history, one woman was in the wreck. And just remember my grandfather, my cousins, and all them that was, his great family, and all his life, and all them. And also, like you remember, several weeks ago, I mentioned a couple times, but I'm going to mention that he and I got a good close friend of mine. He's going through some really tough things. I don't know what it is, but he won't talk to me. He won't talk to his family. He won't talk to nobody. I don't know. He's just really struggling with some sort of battle. And I don't know about it, but he don't talk to me. He don't talk to nobody, really. But I know, know that we just don't understand. But I know the Lord knows how to take care of it. And, I'm powerless. I really drew down the way he was powerless.
Yes.
And he wouldn't talk to him or anything else. He was up high. Yes. And so just pray for him. Just pray for the Lord to help.
Amen. And yeah, do remember Christina, too. And for thinking she's got a sinus infection, so she's probably not scared to talk to her. She's been suffering with that pretty bad. Lord willing, it's supposed to be March 23rd is her 22nd. But she's supposed to have her anatomy ultrasound, which will be, where we'll find out the sex of the baby. So now, if the baby quiet, I mean, I know y'all know how that is. If the baby don't cooperate, we need to find out. But so preacher's going to be praying for a boy. My dad's praying for a boy. So we'll see. But yeah, we'll pray for a boy. That's right. But also remember the family of A.B., he was mentioned Wednesday night, he passed away. And I'm saying it was, that was one of the deacons down at Bible Gospel. So pretty much in prayer with them too, because obviously the family is bereaved, but then that church is bereaved of one of their deacons, and that's it's a different kind of hurt, but obviously they're hurt too. So pray for Preacher Matt and the congregation down there. There was somebody else that was mentioned this morning. Preacher Clint at Preacher Clint's church. They had a 16-year-old young lady that was in foster care, and she's run away. They don't know where she is. So pretty much in prayer for that family there and that girl that God would watch over. And of course, pray for Preacher Clint and his church, and Lord, that use them and bless them. And the other pastors that have come out of our church, my dad and Preacher Curtis and Preacher Dwight and him and his church. And you know, there's always still a situation there with Sam and Maddie that they're looking for God to move in and take care of that. And I think Brother Matthew also had a request about his job, so be much in prayer for that also. Who else this morning?
Thank you. Morning.
Morning.
It's good to be in the house, Lord.
Amen.
I thank God for allowing us to be here this morning. I thank God for this church. I say that all the time, but I can say it some more.
Amen.
It's a good church. It is. I tell people all the time, it's the best church in the whole country. I was, me and Zach, last night I was talking, I was inviting Buddy over to church. That's what I told him, what I always tell him, didn't I? I said, it's the best church in the whole country. I said, don't think that Zach's a good preacher. I said, come visit. I said, in any case, one point in time, the church, I believe, that became what it is because God had you a good preacher. God gives you a good man to lead, a good wife to help him along. As Preacher Billy and Miss Vivian, I believe Brother Ted Carr as well done a fine job as well, but they served here nearly 30 years. We appreciate that so much.
Amen.
And it was both of them. That's what it takes both of them.
Yeah.
You know, y'all don't see it, but my wife does as much or more than I do for this church.
Yeah.
If anything else, it's just to be the one person that I can tell anything in the world to.
Yes.
And she ain't going to judge me.
Yes.
She'll still listen to me preach.
Amen.
She knows how bad I am for stealing out.
Yeah.
Then mama's next to her. So I think more than two women than just about anybody. Well, they'll come here and preach after all. You know that. But in any case, appreciate Miss Vicki. Appreciate you standing by in all these years. We appreciate you, Brother Billy. I want to tell you both, I appreciate you so much. We want to wish you a very happy anniversary.
Amen.
And me and the deacons were talking a few weeks back. And we thought it'd be good today if we could take up offering for them. Not just because it's their anniversary, but because we just want to be a blessing to them. We want to remind them how much we appreciate them. They ain't no retirement plan for, pastoring a small Baptist church. So it's up to us to make sure that their needs are met.
Yes.
And more than that, that they have, if it be at all possible, we want to give more than that. We want to be blessed. We want to, have a sufficiency in all things. So me and the deacons talked, and we thought that we would do that today. It'd be a good day to do it. Here we're anniversary. And that whatever you would give, whenever we take a thought from the church, will match it. So if you give $10, you're giving $20. And so if you give $20, you're giving $40. So whatever that you give, we're going to match it. And we're going to be a blessing to them. Now, if we won't do that right yet, I'll give you some time to prepare. We'll wait till the end of service. We'll do that. But, just be mindful that if you enjoy this church, if you love this church, it took this man and woman serving faithfully all these years. And, God's used that. It's been instrumental in this church becoming what it is today. And now this church is instrumental in growing me. So, in any case, I appreciate it as much as anybody, preacher. I do, Miss Vivian. I do. I appreciate y'all's service. Go ahead, Miss Vivian.
Being married 2 years, it doesn't seem like a fair time, but it has. And all that through the years, it's not been a bed of roses.
That's right.
I mean, we had our dilemmas, but God has been with us all the way.
Amen.
Can't run as fast. You can't can't work as hard. And so like I said, you know, Miss Terry, you're talking about that man that lost over at church. He's a Sunday school teacher. I'm sure he missed. That's like whenever John Longman passed away over here from Calvary. You know, he was a choir leader. He taught the little Sunday school class. He was a really great teacher, and we missed him a lot. But, you know, every person that I've lost and seen gone from the church that I was part of, you know, you miss him.
Yeah.
And even here, I think about Miss Dorothy. And, you know, she didn't do a whole lot. But she was here every service.
Yeah.
It'd be raining, it'd be ice, and she couldn't hardly drive. She'd be kind of, you didn't have no air conditioning. We'd do a parking lot service. She didn't have no air conditioning in the middle of summer. Coming over, sweating up a storm, trying to drive up. And, you know, just sitting here, sit out there for the parking lot service when COVID was going on, listening to preaching.
Yeah.
She never said a lot, but she raised that hand when he was giving a prayer request. And she said, pray for my son and my grandson.
Yeah.
She's faithful.
Hey.
She done what God called her to do. She served, didn't she, Greg?
Yeah.
Sure did.
She's here before Billy was. Mm-hmm. She's here before Ted was. She was, you know, you can tell this.
Yeah.
It took three preachers to preach her funeral. She'd have three different pastors in 70 years over here, ain't she? Well, she'd have four, but one of them, I guess he's already passed away. But in any case, she wore out three of them. She wore out three of them. And still working on the fourth. But we miss her. We miss her. So it doesn't matter what position you hold. You're all important to God, and you're all important to us. We appreciate every one of you. But in any case, does anybody have a song they want to sing this morning before we get started?
I'd like to say, preacher, I appreciate the privilege to be here.
Amen.
Thank God for this church. It was good for me.
Amen.
I don't have no complaints.
Amen.
You were really good to us. I appreciate you, preacher. Wife, family, thank you and love you very much.
Amen. I appreciate that.
God's man.
Yes.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
Just appreciate it. It's all said and done. We want the place where we'll be happy forevermore.
Amen.
That's for that today.
Amen.
Now that I got my eyes on heaven.
Amen. Amen. What a blessing.
To get our eyes off this world, get our eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
There's nothing in this world that's going to last. It's all going to burn up. What we do for Jesus will be there when we get there.
Amen.
So remember us and we'll pray to God.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead. You come with the lower side of the room. Thank you.
tell him that no more. I'm about to do like my sisters used to do when I was young. I'm going to find a magazine picture. I'm going to show them. Make my hair look like that.
Yeah. Sing another one.
That other one.
Grab that one.
Might be working.
Make sure Jerry's is not on mute.
I am the one. to me for you
to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Thank you, Father, Lord. Let's pray. Thank you for loving us, being good to us, allowing us to be in your house this morning. Thank you for your word. Pray, God, you'd add your blessing to the reading of it. God, that you would, Lord, preach to us here this morning, that you would let us glean from your word and we grow. God, that you'd be glorified. May Holy Ghost conviction fall upon our hearts. Lord, may you be exalted in the name of your Son Jesus, be magnified in every way in this service. It's in his name alone we beg. Amen. Amen. Have you ever had a teacher, Brenda, or someone that would tell you that that you had a sentence that is too long, that you need to make that sentence shorter, you need to put a period in there and finish that sentence? Paul did not have a teacher like that.
Right.
Whenever Paul wrote, he did not have a teacher like that. This is a very long sentence that he's written here. I believe if I'm correct, I looked through this and I tried to find a period, and I could not. But I believe from something like verse 9 going all the way to verse 29 is one sentence. And you might find a period in there, and I could be wrong, but I looked this the other day, and I'm pretty sure it's like all one sentence. And so it's like one continual thought. And yeah, it is punctuated. I mean, he had proper punctuation, but he was never taught to make a sentence shorter. And so, but it is one continuous thought, and it is one continuous speech, and it's meant as one sentence to be read together.
Right.
In context, we begin reading in verse number 9, and we begin reading over there last week, and just to go over that very quickly. I want to say that Paul says here that he's writing to the church here to the Colossians, and he lets them know that he's praying for them. He says he appreciates their service to the Lord, and he says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you, verse 9, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That is his desire, that is our desire for one another, that we be filled with all knowledge of wisdom and spiritual understanding. This day and time, we lack a lot of spiritual understanding. We live in a time when people begin to think that they have spiritual understanding. They do not. They lack spiritual understanding. We'll talk about that tonight at our foundations meeting with the questions, what is good doctrine? And give an example of what is bad doctrine. By the way, this is completely out of order, but let me say this. Just so you know, to give you a basis to start with, doctrine is just a belief. It is a religious belief or idea that is formed based on facts that you were given or evidences that you have seen or texts that you have read, that you've developed a religious belief. That's a doctrine. So what makes good doctrine good and what makes bad doctrine bad? Give an example of good doctrine, give an example of bad doctrine. Anyways, that is the question for tonight. I wouldn't be here this evening. I wouldn't be here at 5 if I were you. I believe it will help all of us. It's something we all need to learn to know more about. It's something I need to learn to know more about. It's something you need to learn to know more about so that we're able to discern, so that we have more spiritual understanding, just as the wish that Paul had for the church in Colossae here. He says that you might walk worthy, verse 10, of the Lord all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. He desires that we walk worthy of the Lord, and in a way that's pleasing to him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. He doesn't want us to just know God and simply be satisfied with that, but to increase in our knowledge of God. That's why we come to church. While we read our Bible, that's why we begin Sunday school, because we want to increase our knowledge of God. He says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks to the Father, which he had made meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Then we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It says that God here, it says, it goes to describe him, it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. We talked about that last week. Some of you weren't here, so I'm recapping. And for those of you who were here, you've had a week in between, so you forgot. Because that's what we do, we're human, we forget.
Yeah.
I didn't forget because I studied and have a lot of notes, but a lot of us forgot, I'm sure, in a week's time. You know, so we're recapping. Don't get mad at me for going back over something this quick.
Yeah.
In any case, whatever he says here, that everything that was made by him, it was made by him, and it was made for him.
Yeah.
Whenever we read this, it's speaking specifically about thrones and dominions, principalities and powers. Understand that every government, that every source of power that is in the world was made by him and for him.
Amen.
Every beautiful thing that is in the world, every waterfall, every cloud that's ever rolled across the sky, every blade of grass that has ever grew up from the ground was made by him and for him. It is all for his glory. He, for us to think that, you ever been told that, you know, the world don't revolve around you. That's called being self-centered, putting yourself at the center of everything. That's the title of this message. You're not the main character. He is.
Yeah.
He is the main character. See, for God not to be self-centered would be wrong with him, because there is no other God.
Yeah.
He says there is none beside me.
Yeah.
And sometimes for some reason we struggle with that, we stumble at that, because we feel as if God should make us the center of the universe, should make everyone the center of the universe. Well, matter of fact, he does in his own way. He makes you the center of his affection. That's why he says that he's a jealous God. That's why he says that he covets our attention and our affection and our love and our service, because he's done everything for us. Everything that you have is a gift from God. Every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from above. Whenever you have something good in your life, it's come from God. Hey, I want to tell you, even whenever we're going through trials and we're going through hardships, God is good. And he's using those times in our life to draw us closer to him and to grow us. And so he's a good God. He's a perfect God. And we can praise him when things are good. And we can praise him when things are bad. The Bible says, as a matter of fact, that he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for you and I. This great God of ours, who's given us everything, he's given you the breath that's in your lungs. He's given you the strength that's in your back. You say, well, I've worked hard for what I got. You wouldn't have had to fit in you to work hard if God not given that to you. Hey, God has given every bit of it to you. You say, well, I was raised that way. God give you a mom and daddy to raise you. Amen. Hey, it was all by him. We owe praise and honor and glory to him, because he's the main character of the story.
Amen.
And he's a good God. And all things were made by him and for him to glorify him. Also specifically here, he says that even these powers and rules, even those that are in power, that's why those that are in power, they don't like God. That's why they don't like God in China.
Right.
Because it's a totalitarian government.
Yeah.
They don't like anybody that claims to have more authority than they do. Guess what? God's got authority over them.
Yeah.
Guess what? God decided long before us, about 6,000 years ago, that in the year 2024, that China would be a communist country. And he knew the name of the man that'd be in charge. Why? Yeah. Because the Bible says the Bible teaches that he is sovereign, that he acts alone according to his own will. That there is no other power that can resist his will. Amen. The Bible says, we was reading this morning, Brother Glenn had asked the question. We was talking about how we're blessed. We was talking about how that we're blessed by being in the service of God. And we were reading, and we was reading over there in 1 Timothy in chapter 6. And we read it. I don't know if we got there yet, but what was it? Verse 14 or 15. It says that in his times he will reveal who is the blessed and only potentate.
Yeah.
That means the only source of power in the entire universe.
Yeah.
That's what it's indicating, that he is the only source of power, that all power comes from him. So all things were made by him, and they were made for him. The Bible says he is before all things. He comes before anything that there is. Everything that there is in the world, I said that he comes before that.
Yeah.
That means that if you was to make a list of priorities, you ever had to prioritize things to get things done? You ever had so many things to get done that you just knew you wasn't going to get them all done, so you had to prioritize?
Right.
And you had to, you ever had to sit down and do that? I have. It happens in life. But he ought to always be the number one priority.
Yeah.
Because whether you want to make it or not, realize or not, he is the number one priority.
Yeah.
And he always will be. He says he is before all things. It says that he is before all things, and by him all things consist. They want to tell us how gravity works, or you want to explain how the atmosphere works, or you know, they're worried about cows sparking in the atmosphere and destroying the ozone layer, and the sun, the rays of the sun are going to cause us to have cancer and all this stuff. No, I'm sorry, no. The Bible says by him all things consist.
Yeah.
He is the glue that holds the fabric of reality together.
Yeah, amen.
The existence that you and I know of, it is by him. The Bible says by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body and the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in him, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
Yeah.
That means the superiority, that he is superior in all things, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. The only way we can have satisfaction in life, the only way we can be full, the only way we can be complete, is to be in Christ and to be in his service.
Amen.
The devil will give you 2,025 reasons to lay out of church on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And you always got something you got to get done, or you just need to get caught up from sleep, or you're tired, or, you know, you just, whatever it is. You got a little headache or something else. You know, sometimes you really are sick, and we don't want you coming here and spreading it to everybody. But, you know, sometimes there's just things that you know that we don't want to talk about. You know, the times you could have made it.
Yeah.
And you didn't. We all get like that. That's a battle that we all face, you know, right? Because the flesh don't like being instructed in the Word of God.
Right.
My flesh don't like it. It's wearisome to the flesh.
Yeah.
It's wearisome to be in constant prayer.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Because the flesh does not like it.
Amen.
It's wearisome to study the Word of God and to read the Word of God. And it's wearisome to come to the house of God and to be in part of the service. And the flesh does not like it. But have you ever missed a service and thought, I'm glad I didn't go to church today? And have you ever been to the house of God? I have been to church before and thought, I wish I didn't even went there. But it wasn't church. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it was ridiculous. They had tambourines and maracas, and they was telling me that, you know, it's like one of these William Branham deals, and I don't know if you know anything about that, but they're crazy. And this guy's up here, and he's preaching, and he's from Australia. And he said, and the prophet of God said, and he'd say something I've never heard in the Bible.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, what is he talking about? And the service lasted 3 hours. They sang. You think us Baptists drag something out? They sang and we stood and clapped and sang, and they played maracas and they played tambourines and they sang 45 songs, and they went on like that for 45 minutes to an hour. And then that man preached for 2 hours. And I think they give an altar call for another hour. I don't know. It was late when we got out of there. I finally figured out halfway through the preaching that he wasn't talking about no prophet that I knew of. He's talking about Brother Bill. So I have been to church and thought, you know, I shouldn't have went there. Have you ever went to a church where there's sound doctrine taught and preached and believed and thought, man, I shouldn't even went to church today? You might have felt convicted. You might have felt like, you know, man, I wish. You might have got upset. You might have got upset with the preacher. You might have got upset with yourself. Maybe a little bit of both. Maybe he's upset with God. I've done that. I haven't. God, why you got to pick on me? Why you always got to pick on me? He says, so, because you worship in a moment. I'm good for picking. Right? That's the way it goes. Guess what? You're good for picking.
Yeah.
You feel like God's picking. I remember I used to go to church. I remember I used to think that there's people in the community over there going telling Ken Frazier stuff.
that I've done, see, preach about it. Just to kick on me. I used to think that whenever I was lost, you know, and then even sometimes after I got saved, you know, I remember thinking like that. I remember thinking like that whenever I was over there and Richard Curtis was over there. And, you know, I didn't know. Then I strictly called to preach, and I realized I had people tell me, you know, that, you know, many times, all the time, you know, somebody tell you, you know, that the, you was preaching something that's right up their alley. And I don't know, but I realized that God knows what he's doing.
Right.
Amen? He knows what he's doing. And, you know, like I said, it's about him.
Amen.
And the only way we have peace, the only way we have fullness, the Bible says that please the Father, that in him should all fullness dwell. The only way we have fullness and peace is to be, to know him, and to be his service.
Amen.
To be in his will. To strive to be in his will. You can do things your way. You'll never have satisfaction. Pursue your dreams. Pursue your goals. Do it without Christ, you'll never be satisfied.
Right.
You can get that degree you want. You can get that job you want. You can get that money you want. It'll never satisfy. It'll leave you just as empty as you was going into it. You'll always want something more. But praise be to God that in him, fullness dwells. It lives there. It resides there. You want to have satisfaction? You want to have contentment? It comes from getting there under the blood, bringing that sin, and getting it under the blood of Jesus, having it covered, having a righteous cloak to cover your sinful flesh, and to know God and be known by him, and to get in his service and serve him, amen.
Amen.
He's worthy of us to want to serve him. He's worthy of us to serve him. Because the Bible tells us here in verse 20, and this is what we're getting to this morning. And I'll try to go through this. I'm just going to do the verse 20 down through 23. He says here, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. He says, having made peace through the blood of his cross. God is a holy God. Make no mistake about it. The Bible says that that's another thing that we read about. He's the blessed and only potentate, and said that in him that he dwells in the light which no man can approach unto. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I was reading over there this morning. I don't think we read that part, did we? But it says that over there. It says he dwells in the light which no man can approach unto. The Bible says that there will be no sin that enters there into heaven. Amen. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God.
Amen.
That includes me, that includes you, that includes everyone.
Yeah.
God's no respecter of persons. He doesn't care what you've achieved and what you've accomplished down here on earth. What he cares about is where he sees the blood.
Amen.
He said over there to those that were in Egypt, they that were in Egypt, they were there, and he said that I'm going to send a destroyer. I'll take the firstborn son of every household away. The firstborn of every beast. And every living thing. The firstborn, he said, I'll take it for myself. He said, because the wickedness of the Egyptians has come up before me. And that was the final plague that he sent out upon the Egyptians. But he said, take notice and take heed. He said, listen. He said, you take the blood of a lamb. He said, you strike it on the doorpost and on the sides of the door. And he said, where I see the blood, he said, I'll pass over you. He said, where I find the blood, I'll pass over you. It didn't matter if it's Egyptian. Didn't matter if it's Israelites. If it's some Israelites that said, well, hey, I belong to God, and I don't have to do this. I don't want this on my door. I don't want these Egyptians coming by asking me why I'm doing this and looking like a crazy person. I live right here. I've got me a good place to live. I might be a servant, but I'm up here right next to where the Egyptians live. They've moved me all the way up here because they're taking care of me. Mind you, now some of them people in Israel, they liked some of the things about Egypt.
Yeah.
We learned that later on, didn't we? We preached on that some of Wednesday nights, talking about how they missed the flesh parts. They missed all the fruits and all the things that they had in Egypt. But they very well could have been Israelite. They said, guess what, I might be still in service, but I've been moved on up. I'm right next to the Egyptians. I don't want them asking me why I'm doing this. Looking like a crazy person. And so they didn't put no blood. This peradventure with me. The Bible doesn't tell us yes or no on this. But I know this where he said, where I find the blood, I'll pass over.
Right.
So when the destroyer comes, They're part of the Israelites, but there's no blood. So he goes in and he visits them with wrath. Because it's in the same sense, there might have been an Egyptian. And they'd seen other plagues, and he had told his family, truly, this must be the Lord of Lords, the host of hosts. And he says there to him, he says, I've seen him turn the water to blood. I've seen the frogs take over, the locusts take over, and I've seen the bulls, and I've got the bulls come up on me, and all these things. And so he tells me, he says, I was down by the camp of the Israelites, and I heard them talking. And they said that if we was to take a lamb and kill it, and put the blood over the doorpost, he said that whenever there's going to be a destroyer coming, whenever he sees the blood, said that he'll pass over us from wrath. If that Egyptian would have took that blood and put it on his doorpost, guess what? He'd have been spared. Why? Because it wasn't his status or his namesake or who he was. It was because of the blood, amen. The Bible says that we made peace with God because of the blood of Christ, amen. And so whenever we read this here, it says, having made peace through the blood of his cross, guess what? I can lay my head down at night. Praise be to God. You can lay your head down at night. You can be at peace. Hey, I want to tell you, Christian brother and sister, you might tell yourself, you say, well, preacher, I don't do everything right. I don't say everything right. I really struggle, and I have a hard time accepting that God's okay with me in the state that I'm in. Hey, I'm sure, brother and sister, you got room to grow. So do I. But I want to tell you, that ain't what justifies you with God. It's the blood of Jesus. You can have peace tonight, and you lay your head down knowing that he took care of it all. Amen. Because he's the main character. He's the center of the story. It ain't about you and what you can do and what you've done. It's about him, and it's about what he's done, what he's going to do in your life. Amen. It says, made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things to himself. He's brought us to himself.
Yeah.
While we were going astray, we had followed our own way. Hey, he loved us enough that he brought us to himself. The Bible says there's none that seeketh after God.
Right.
You wasn't looking for him. You wouldn't have wanted him if you... The Bible said, Jesus said, no man come to me except the Father draw them. Yeah. Hey, man, I'm glad that he calls us out of darkness. Hey, the Bible tells us here that it is of God. It's a salvation that comes from the Lord. Hey, it's a salvation that we were born of the will of God. Amen. The Bible tells us that it's from him, by him, and for him. Amen. Yeah. He's the main character. And I'm glad of that. I want to tell you, if I was able to do something about my salvation, if I was able to earn it somehow, if you were able to earn it, then you'd be able to mess it up.
Right. Amen. Yeah.
And I'd have lost it.
Yeah.
You'd have done lost it.
Yeah.
I mentioned, what was it, Wednesday night, talking about, I said, how many minutes into the morning would you have to go where you lost your salvation? And I said, Lord mercy, and I remembered, I had a dream. And I don't remember I can probably told you whatever Wednesday, whenever it was, but I can't remember the details of the dream. I just remember I was full awake in the same dream. I was trying to kill somebody or something. I don't even remember what it was over. I just remember, you know, I had it in my heart to do evil. And that's when I'm asleep.
Yeah.
You ain't even safe when you're asleep if it's up to you.
That's right.
If it's got anything to do with what you can do in your ability, you ain't even safe when you're asleep.
Yeah.
Let go of them false hopes and them false things that want to teach you and push you towards the point of feeling all that weight and that guilt because you think that you can somehow contribute to what God's doing. He's the main character, amen.
Amen.
Hey, amen, whatever he's going to do in your life, praise be to God, it's a blessing from God if you can be used by God. And you can serve him, absolutely. And you'll have even more peace. You'll have even more contentment. But don't let your circumstances and don't let your failures be used of Satan to convince you that you're worthless to God.
Right.
Or that you somehow have abandoned him. Hey, I will tell you this. Hey, if your faith lacks, he remains faithful. Amen.
That's right.
Hey, you might turn your back on him, but he said he'd never turn his back on you. Amen.
Amen.
He's a good and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Since we were alienated, we were separated, we were pushed away from God because of wickedness, because of our own ideology. He said that while we were the enemies of God, he's reconciled us. He's brought us back to himself in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. It says in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy. You say me. But sometimes I think this way. I know that's not right. How can I be presented as holy? It says he'll present you holy.
Yeah.
He'll present you unblameable. You say, well, but I just last week I just said this, I went off and I lost it. I said some things. And you know what, I tell you, it wasn't too long ago, and I remember I messed up and I've done some things. Well, the devil likes to throw me fast up in the face. All the time. And guess what? I got some bad news for you. As long as you still got this skin on your body, you're going to mess up again. I'm not trying to discourage you from living for God. I don't ever want to do that. I'm just giving you the reality of the situation. You have a curse. It's called the flesh.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
But this is where we get our assurance. He says that in the body of his flesh, through death, he done it to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That means that his blood sacrifice on Calvary, that it redeems you 100% completely, that your works do not add to your salvation. Your works cannot save you.
Amen.
And they do not add to your salvation.
Yeah.
Listen, when he says that, can we let the Word of God be the Word of God, amen?
Yeah.
He says to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable. That means that your sin is removed, amen, just as the Bible says it is. That the writings of ordinances that was against us was taken out of the way and nailed to his cross, amen. Unreprovable, unblameable in his sight, amen.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we don't ever have to face a judgment where that we're going to be read a list of things that we don't know.
Right.
Amen. It's unreprovable.
Yeah.
It's unblameable because the power of the blood of Jesus has cleansed us and washed us, amen, to present us holy. That's the way that he views us.
Yeah.
That's the way he views you, not because of what you've done.
Right.
You can't add to that. Right. How can you add to that? What could you do? What have you done in your life? If you think that you could, if you think that this is wrong, if you think that somehow you could add to it, you can tell me what you've done in your life, that God would see you as holy because of something you've done. Right. Because as soon as you can think of that, you start thinking of all the things that God would see you as unholy.
Yeah.
Because those things are always going to outweigh.
Yeah.
The balance is always going to be tilted.
Yeah.
And it's going to be tilted out of your favor.
Yeah.
But praise be to God, that's where the blood comes in.
Amen.
That's where the reconciliation comes in. That's when it becomes about him and not about me and you. It says in verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, made a minister. It says this. Well, if I can't know that I'm saved by doing works and doing good deeds, how can I know? It says to continue in the faith, to stay with him, to stick with him. Don't abandon him. Don't jump ship. The only way that we can know is by sticking with him. You know, I tell these youngs, I tell all youngs, I tell any young, a small young. I've told Solace, I've told other youngs whenever Solace over there, I've told other youngs whenever they were saved. I don't just sit there, you know, I refuse to just, you know, simply just say, we're safe forever now, just go on and, you know, don't worry about it ever again. In one sense, we shouldn't doubt.
Yeah.
We should have confidence in our salvation, but at the same time, we should understand and know that our confidence comes from the fact that we are continuously striving to seek him and to live for him.
Not that we even have accomplished those things, because you won't.
Yeah.
But he says if you continue in the faith.
Yeah.
Continue in the pursuit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do not abandon the hope of the gospel that Jesus has died for your sins.
Amen.
That you are saved. That you, the gospel is the good message. That's what means the good news.
Yeah.
Because the bad news is you're a sinner.
Yeah.
Bad news is the wrath of God looms over your head. Good news is Jesus died for your sins. If you repent and accept Him into your heart, He will save you from the wrath of God. He'll save you from the power of sin. He'll save you from the slavery of this world system has over you.
Yeah.
You will become His child. You'll be forgiven. You'll be justified. You'll be made holy. You'll be made unreprovable. You'll be made unblameable in the sight of God, because the blood of Jesus has cleansed you, because He is the main character. And so we give Him glory and Him honor. Whenever we study and look at this, and then we study this, we look at this, what does it do for us? You say, what does it do for me? This is what it does. It gives us the opportunity to glorify God.
Yeah.
And to give praise to Jesus Christ. Because, I don't know about you, but let me tell you what about me. I'm done. This is something I suffer from time to time. Maybe some of you can relate. I'll feel as if there's so many things that I need to do for God before that I can be where I need to be with Him. Mm-hmm. I have to get this done. I have to get that done. If not, I'm telling God, you know, God's not going to use me. And then there's also things that I know I shouldn't think or say or do that's just destroying my relationship with God. And because I'm not doing these things right, it's destroying my relationship with God. You ever feel that way?
Yeah.
You know that's biblically wrong? Because we cannot base our relationship with God on what we're doing. It's about what He's done, amen.
Yeah, yeah.
And the only way we'll ever stop doing those things that we shouldn't do and say and think, and we'll grow out of that and grow into the things that He desires for us to do, is by understanding and knowing that it's through Him and by Him and for Him, amen.
Yeah,
yes. If you could achieve something, you'd have the opportunity to pat yourself on the back. It's not about you. It's not about you being able to say, I've done this, or I'm so glad I was able to do this. It's about Him and what He's done, amen.
Yeah.
I say it all the time, I might not be who I are, but by the grace of God, I ain't who I used to be. By His grace. There wasn't nothing else could have done. It's by His grace. Continue grounded and settled. Plant your feet in tight in the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let go of all of your attempts and all of your things that are holding you back, the failures in your life. Give it to God. Get it under the blood. Let Him know that you still put your faith and your confidence in Him and not in yourself and what you're able to do. Quit living that life that's without the blessing of God, not because that you're failing God, but because you ain't give it to God.
Yeah.
Give it to Him this morning. Lay it at His feet. Bring it to the cross. Get it behind you. Let the past be the past. Put your confidence and faith solely in Him. That's the only way you'll have peace. That's the only way you'll have confidence. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. I want to give you the opportunity. The Lord so spoke to your heart. And if you're lost this morning, and thus far, you've seen that and you've felt that this story of your life has just been about you. And you realize this morning that God is the center of everything, but that He loves you. Even though He holds that position, He has developed a personal interest in your life, in your well-being. He loves you so much that He sent His Son to die in your place, that you would not have to pay for your sin, that you could be forgiven, that you could be justified, made holy, unreproved. Unrebuked, that no accusation may be brought against you before God. because when he sees you, he will see his precious son. Come and ask God to save you this morning. Put your faith in Jesus Christ and be born again. And if you're saved this morning, and you've struggled with doubt, and you've struggled with fear, and you've struggled with wondering if you're doing enough, or if the things that you've done wrong are too much, come this morning and say, Lord, I want to have my confidence in you alone. Let go of all that guilt. Let go of all of that attempt that you're making. Bring it to God and let Him work through you. You'll find blessing in just letting God work through you. If you're saved this morning, you have been walking and leading a life that you feel as if you're the center of that. You've not made God the center for some time now. You realize this morning that God needs to be the center of your life once again, and that things are not going to be right until you make Him the center. Come and ask God this morning. Say, Lord, forgive me. Help me to make you a sinner again. Central part of your life. As I pray this morning, if the Lord spoke to your heart, why don't you come? Father, I thank you this morning for your word, its convicting power of my life. Forgive me, Lord, for how that so often, Lord, I put myself at the center of everything that I do. Lord, I become so selfish and self-centered. Have mercy on me and forgive me. Lord, I pray that you would help me to acknowledge that you are the center of everything, that you are the Almighty, the blessed and only potentate. Lord, that you love me and are good to me, and that I owe you all praise and honor and glory. Thank you for dying for my sin. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayers. Thank you for growing me in my walk with you. Forgiving me and having mercy on me every day. Lord, I thank you that your grace is sufficient. Lord, I know that through your strength, I can accomplish everything that I need to. Prepare the life of God in us. I thank you and I love you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for this church. And I thank you for the opportunity to be here and preach this morning. I pray that you be magnified and glorified in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, before we go, we're going to take up that offer. Like I said, whatever you give, you know, it's going to be double. So, just give as the Lord have you to. And just remember that God will bless you. You take care of the man of God, that's biblical. The Bible teaches that. You take care of the man of God, God will bless you. God will take care of you. May the dollar that you can give, that God will not return to you. If you give it for somebody that's in need, the man of God, him and his wife that served here, been a blessing to us, they still a blessing to us. They're a blessing to me and all of us here. And we're just going to have a very special happy anniversary and be a blessing to me. Amen. All right, here's your one.
Page 354 at the bottom. 350. These verses are pretty short, so let's get 1, 2, and 5. Verses 1, 2, and 5. Verse page 354 at the bottom. Brother Tony, would you ask a question on all of the Thank you.
something they want to add.
I order you, can you go out and get a...
We can be seated.
The youth decided they wanted to start doing something called a blessing box. It's not really a box, but anyway, it's kind of the name of it. But, and it's been kept secret. They picked who they wanted to do it for. And they wanted to do this for Billy Vivian. It just happened to be on their anniversary. Here's a card, but they wanted to present it to you today from them. This is all from the youth. Sit it down in front of you guys.
Amen.